Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, well, better late than never. We are almost one whole week after the Aston Villa game, and it's time for the latest podcast. With me, Russell Guyver, my co-host Peter Marsh, it's the Brighton Rock Podcast, the podcast about the beautiful club and the beautiful game. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Russ. You sound very pissed.
I resemble that remark.
Resent or resemble?
Both. But mainly resemble, yeah. So here we are, we're a week later, we've had time to digest the season. We'll talk about that, we'll do a separate season review later. But in terms of chatting tonight, let's talk about a few things. Villa, let's talk about Villa. Peter, what were your experiences? You were up there, weren't you?
No, I wasn't, I was in Mirage and I saw you.
My God, I must have had a few to drink. I'm pretty sure I saw you in the Wellington, but maybe I was wrong. What were your thoughts on the game and the trip, etc.?
It wasn't the best game, I'd be honest. It's like I thought we were pretty poor first half. They were not great either, but then we let them in twice and we almost got back in. Ferguson should have arguably scored.
Oh yeah, certainly.
Undav was inches away if Nsita was an offside of scoring. Yeah, so I mean, we certainly should have been level argument at half time, but then they had a chance where we hit the bar early on. So, and then second half it was just a bit of a nothing really. Nothing really happened. It was a bit a non-entity. Subs happened. It was a bit boring. Classic end of season game where we had not that much to play for, and they had, they needed to win, and so they kind of did their Villa tax, didn't they? They were, Martinez held the ball for like about 2 hours every time he had to take a goal kick. And again, that's been Villa home. We had a referee who wasn't up to the task as well.
Oh, he's bloody awful, isn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was just like, he let them get away with so much in terms of time wasting. But then also pissed them off as well. One of those refereeing points where you actually can piss off everyone in the crowd.
What an achievement.
Everyone thinks
say.
You're shit. It's like, well, you know.
What I did quite enjoy was the fact that we could go into this game with absolute relaxation on our minds. We didn't mind. We still would like to have thrown a spanner in the works. I quite enjoyed how nervous the Villa fans became in the second half.
But given that Spurs won, I'm quite glad they didn't get to Europe, although Spurs might actually not want to do it anyway, so who knows. But, you know, well done Villa. I'm glad they did, to be fair, compared to Spurs.
They deserved it. I mean, their home record alone.
They're better than Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, they were, the fifth best team since Emery came in. Better than us since Emery came in. So fair play to them.
If I'm honest, I thought they were, when we played them at the Amex, I thought they were really good for an hour. And then they got ahead and then they played.
And turned into dickheads.
Yeah, turned into dogs.
Yeah. But they're a good team.
They looked a bit nervous, I think, generally and understandably, whereas we maybe freed them, but we left gaps at the back, basically, and they obviously had quite good forwards who could attack that.
All right, here's a question. You get your free t-shirt. Did it fit and have you kept it?
I haven't tried it on, mainly because I know it wouldn't fit properly, to be honest, to say.
Strangely, mine didn't fit. It sort of did, but not really.
I haven't tried it on, mainly because, I've had too many beers over the years. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're losing weight rapidly this summer already, aren't we?
At the moment, I'm currently losing weight at a sip a minute.
Yeah, exactly. We've hardly had anything to drink at all, have we, Peter?
No, I mean, mainly, well, to be fair, I'm not drunk since Tuesday.
We're on the beer mile, Bermondsey. We've been to, Peter, the beer factory, also apparently known as the Barrel Project. Yeah. And we had some two or three very nice beers. When I say two or three, I mean about eight. I've been having thirds to try more beers. And the food was good. And we're now in the Cloudwater, shipping container / pub. Yeah. Which is quite cool.
I think my second ever 4.75 on tap beer, so.
What? 4.75 out of 5?
Yeah.
Highest rating ever, joint highest with one other beer.
Very nice.
Tell us, Peter, what is that beer?
It is excellent. It's called, what's my beer called?
We've got Lawrence with us. Lawrence, what is the beer called?
It's called Chubbles, and it's incredible. So
it's a Cloudwater beer called
Chubbles. Chubbles,
But not the 10% one.
Your troubles are over, Peter. You've got the best beer you could possibly have.
That's not true.
Why is everyone cringing?
I'm left.
Okay, your troubles are not over. Well, get on with it. It's fucking brilliant beer. There we go. Anyway.
It's excellent, yeah.
Anyway. So, in general, fair play. They were quite good. We weren't quite on our game. Ayari got his first start in the Premier League. And I thought he looked a bit lazy. I think he needs to earn the shirt more.
I think he's just a bit weak, I think, probably. Him and Budden also need to get bulked up over the summer a bit and take some steroids, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, usual stuff. Dunk was sitting out again, was he? And Cissé was shit-housing.
Yeah, we saw Webster and Cole the first time together ever, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe last, depending on how much Chelsea asked for.
I think we did a lot of good stuff. I mean, we had Mittimer on the bench. McAllister was on the bench, was he, I think?
No, he started. He got a lot of shit from Villa. He got, quite a lot of bad tackles on him. One of which led to their second goal, which should have been disallowed.
I'll tell you what. One thing that's not really been mentioned about McAllister, amongst all the various good criteria about how well he plays, holds the ball up, the technique, the penalty shooting. Sound of Scottish, absolutely. The endurance to fouls is very 1960s/70s, isn't it? He gets kicked to shit, and he just, he quite often goes down, but he always gets back up again.
Yeah, Villa targeted.
He never seems to get injured.
He doesn't roll over like saying Tito. He actually is hurt, and Villa targeted him, and to the point where...
It's not very Argentinian, is it?
No. The second goal was clearly a foul, and the referee missed it, and let play run on. Presumably VAR didn't thought it was too far back, but even though it was like a second back or two. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't really mind about the game. I was saying to you off air just now, it was great actually after Scott. I mean, on the one hand, I had a mischievous devilment in me that wanted to fuck Villa over, partly because they time wasted at our place, partly because of that Jack Grealish equaliser in the title hunt when we got promoted, and mainly just for the general devilment of it. And yet, when they won 2-1, in the end, we were singing, we're all going on a European tour. And we came out of the ground, and the Villa fans were joining in with the songs. And there was a load of back slapping and palm greasing and general loving stuff going on.
Well, you got up to it in your spare time, up to you, I think.
Well, yeah, I quite enjoyed it, Peter. It was quite sexy, you know. I enjoyed. Now, to be honest, the Villa fans, obviously, they're buoyed by the fact they succeeded with their goal on the final day. We've got to take that into account. But they were good as gold. They were lots of compliments saying, you guys, some of the football you played has been astonishing. Well done. Good luck in Europe. Good luck and all that. It was all actually very well natured, and I think that's not always been the case with Villa.
As much as I don't necessarily like Villa fans, and definitely don't like what Newcastle are owned by, it is quite nice to see three different names next year in Europe for this country.
Definitely.
So normally it'll be one random one, and then just the big six. It's quite nice to see like Chelsea and Tottenham miss out completely. And
Peter, are we going to? If we've been the only one, we would have been the random one. In the future, do you think we won't be the random one, even if we're in there? Could we be in a future world where the Albion qualify not every year, but fairly regularly for Europe? Could that happen?
I think, given the current ownership, it's unlikely. Given you think what Villa and Newcastle and Liverpool and Chelsea and all that will spend this summer. And we're going to sell two of our best players, plus one of our two goalkeepers. I don't think it's not realistic, I think.
More transitions, more churn, yeah. More upheaval.
We're always, under Blue, but I have no issue with this at all, we're always going to want to have to sell to buy, in a way, and sell like our best players. And that is how we're going to attract our best players. But I don't have an issue with it, but it's always full of fact that, you know, Villa probably won't sell any better if they sell someone, and they'll invest in, and they were above us under Emery anyway.
Yeah. We had a great day out anyway. We were back on the same day. You stayed over. Birmingham's a good city, good fun. We went to the Wellington. Great beers, great whiskies, although I didn't try them this weekend.
Some shifty characters, though.
Yeah, I mean, there were some very dodgy characters where I was.
Some bloke from Enfield.
Oh, God.
From Portsmouth, some from Milton Keynes, you know. So.
Are you listening, Russell? Oh, that's me, shit. Ian and Courtney. Yeah, anyway, but it was a good day out. It's a fucking great season. We'll talk about the season in the next episode, but... it was a good day out, and we don't really mind about it. We've got free t-shirts that we may or may not be able to fit into. But at the end of the day, we were stranded, I tell you, in sixth place. We couldn't have finished out of sixth place at kickoff, could we?
I mean,
amazing. Who knew that was going to happen? And those 5 points, Palace and Spurs, beautifully, didn't actually matter in the end. We always thought they would, and they didn't.
Well, the Champions League... Thursday
was
better than anyway, so it's fine.
Exactly. And we've been talking tonight, here as we've been gathering on Saturday night in London, about all the places we may or may not go to. We're doing all three of the initial away days, aren't we?
I'm doing everything that happens, basically.
I'm embracing every single moment of this piece.
We may never go to Europe again. I'm literally...
Not with the Albion. I mean, we probably will on holidays, but not with the Albion.
Yeah. You sod.
You pick me up on this shit.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm doing it to you.
That's okay, I do it.
Oh, that's all right if you do it, is it? Fair enough. But listen, anyway, that's enough about that. So, just a couple of bits on transfers. So, McAllister, at the end of the game, there was a very pointed moment where there's loads of celebrations, fans coming over, applauding the crowd. Sorry, players coming over, applauding the crowd. And De Zerbi made a very, very pointed gesture to isolate Alexis McAllister for praise, celebration, and we think farewell. He was emotional as well, wasn't he, McAllister? He was in tears.
Yeah.
He knows he's going, barring logistic issues. If a transfer cannot be got over the line, he'll stay. Other than that, he'll go.
Yeah.
And we wish him well, don't we? We don't have an issue with it. Like Cucurella, like Potter, like Dan Harding, dare I say.
Like Trossard,
maybe.
Yeah, it's all about how people behave, isn't it? I mean, McAllister's family have been dickheads about the whole move, but McAllister himself has never done anything but be well-behaved. If you ever listen to this, like, Alex McAllister's dad, you've been behaved really badly, his uncle and that sort of thing, you behaved really appallingly.
Peter's calling you out, Ali Mack Senior.
But yeah, as a player, I've no issue with him. He's behaved perfectly.
There's a time, a place, and a way, isn't there? They're doing these things. Yeah.
You obviously got like best mates with Fabrizio Romano and got like kind of like
Who's been telling us that deals are imminent? They're going to happen.
Every half hour, yeah.
Every half hour. It's close. It's closer. It's even closer.
Apparently, we're about to sign Mahmoud Dahoud this week, but we've been signing him for the last like 3 weeks. So
every week we're signing him next week. Brilliant. If you're listening, Fabrizio Romano, and we know you're not, fuck you, Fabrizio Romano.
Fips Romano, as he gets called online. Fips Romano, as he gets called.
Fibs Romano. That's great.
People call him that, yeah.
I love that. What a dickhead. You mercenary wanker. Off
what
you trot.
What is the point of your existence, seriously?
Off you trot.
What is the exact point of his existence?
There isn't one.
What does he actually bring to the world?
Well, he doesn't. Only a stench.
Other than getting a load of money from a load of dickheads, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, deals will be done. McAllister will go.
I fully expect to say that McAllister and Sanchez will go somewhere. It's like,
yeah.
The question is then how we replace them and how we...
I mean, Dahoud apparently is a done deal. Interesting, I was listening to the Albion Unlimited podcast where they were interviewing Jonathan Harding, who's an Albion fan based in Germany, who's a German football expert. And he was saying that Dahoud went off the radar a bit. He was looking very good as a defensive midfielder or a central midfielder, so a 6 or an 8. But that how he went off the boil, having been a German international for a few games, and hasn't really pulled up many trees in recent years. But how he thinks De Zerbi's the man to get the best out of him and reprise him. And it could be a match made in heaven. So that'll be an interesting one. Obviously, João Pedro will be interesting as well.
If you believe the reports, we've actually beaten quite a few clubs to him, including like Napoli and that sort of thing. You know, so
Napoli and Roma.
Yeah.
Napoli, what, runaway Italian champions? Napoli. Yeah. Not bad, not bad. And Roma, potential Albion opponents.
We're very angry manager.
And let's talk about that, because what, is there any more to talk about Villa?
No.
Let's rant about fucking Jose Mourinho.
Oh,
Jose Mourinho, right, I'm gonna be diplomatic here. Jose Mourinho, and this is a warning, by the way, skip forward 2 minutes if you don't want to hear a very, very, very rude word.
Yeah. So right. Russ is like silent rude words, but I'm going to be diplomatic.
Yeah. So 2 minutes, guys.
It's safe phrase.
We'll see you on the other side.
Word.
If you are staying with us.
We've got kids listening.
Here we go. This is kid unfriendly. Jose Mourinho is a cunt. And he's always been a cunt. He's an absolute fucking disgrace. He's a very, very good manager. He's a very good manager. And he's proved it over a number of years. And he would say, if you criticise him in any way, look what I've done. He'll point to his trophies. He is successful. He's fantastic in that regard.
Well, he paid to his crown jewels.
Yes, exactly. But he is a graceless, unpleasant, bullying arsehole. He's an absolute prick.
You know my views on referees, and generally, I don't think anything that they did on the... I watched most of the game on Wednesday, Thursday. I didn't think much of what they did was wrong. It was just that every time a decision was made against one team, their bench threw up, jumped up, and even like a small decision.
What it was, the game itself was very attritional football. It was shit. It was the Europa League final. It was Roma against perennial winners Sevilla, who did indeed win again, albeit this time on penalties. A number of controversial decisions. Mourinho took exception to all of them. Some of them could have gone against him and didn't. Others did go against him and should have done. Others went against him and were debatable, admittedly. But I don't think Anthony Taylor did anything discernibly wrong.
No.
He had to deal with a lot of shit. When you get attritional finals, you get a lot of niggly shit. And what I liked about it, he didn't take any bullshit. He gave out 13... yellow cards, including one for Mourinho.
And a bit like that Holland-Spain World Cup final where
Howard Webb, now head of PGMOL. Yeah. And he should have sent off De Jong.
And he got loads of shit from Holland, but actually they were quite benevolent. They were quite lucky to get away with what they did.
And the audacity, the criticism comes from those that most offend.
Yeah, I think that game, I've never seen a bench every time. I mean, Holland can bloody well even play on the pitch. They were on a bloody bench.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
On the matter of Mourinho, can I just say, I don't mind a guy sliding down in his suit, sliding all the way down the touchline.
At the Emirates.
As a minnow. Yeah.
That's an example for the Emirates.
I deserve it. I don't mind that. Porto, when they're the underdogs, all that stuff. I don't mind that. What I mind is bullying female physios, gouging out the eyes of opposition benches, Barcelona, when he was at Real Madrid. Calling out referees endlessly, and I know this is rich coming from us, but it really is off the scale.
But we do it also, it doesn't make any difference.
We're fans chatting.
Yeah.
He's a manager who is criticising a referee, and people are going to listen.
He knows when he goes and shouts at a referee in a coach park, that gets seen, and then these dickheads at the airport feel they can do the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, it's like, us talking on air doesn't really make any difference to anyone,
No.
To 200 people, it doesn't really make any difference. But him going up to, someone in a car park, and shouting abuse at Anthony Taylor and screaming at him, and brings then about the incident at the airport that it happened.
Yeah, just to picture the scene, he's in this shiny, concreted, floored underground car park at the stadium in Budapest after they've lost on penalties, and he's gone up to, there's a video of it, you don't see Taylor, but it clearly is Taylor, and he's gone up to Taylor in a sort of like a slightly stalky, standoffish, go forward, go backwards, go forward, go backwards kind of way. But what he said is, you're a fucking disgrace, it's a fucking disgrace, you're a fucking cunt, he said. It was censored. The Telegraph showed it, and they subtitled it with C... And loads, and this
could
is
be cart.
This is over an hour after the game.
Could be coat.
After he'd lost, yes. After he'd lost his shit in the stadium, it was a shambles. It was an embarrassment in the ground. And an hour later, he's abusing him again. And as you said, it validates the behaviour that then happens.
People are actually throwing chairs at the airport.
A chair, bottles, and some other stuff. Anthony Taylor, his wife and kids, at the airport, who were having a drink at a cafe on their way home the following day at the airport. The following day. Not heat at the moment. The following day. Roma fans who were involved, you're a disgrace. Mourinho, you're a disgrace. Mourinho and those...
I'm going to see you next year in Europe.
Yeah, exactly. They are an absolute disgusting representation of football. Mourinho has always been a shitter. He needs a serious ban. He's a downbeat, blame-mongering, admittedly very successful, but also blame-mongering, shambolic dickhead of a man. I cannot stand the bloke. I know some, and I won't mention names, but I know people that listen to this podcast, certain people like Jose Mourinho. I don't. I never have. I appreciate what he's able to achieve.
I thought when he first came in, he was a bit of a breath of fresh air in football. But yeah, since he's come back to, since the end of his time at Chelsea, he's become a bit of a
parody of himself.
Yeah, actually, that literally, I was thinking.
And then
it's
become a parody of that parody.
Yeah.
And my wife saw it and said, God, he looks really old as well. And I thought, I know that's an incidental remark, but I do think he's lost his way big time. And
He's lost his way.
We're on our way. But anyway, that's enough about Mourinho. Mourinho, you're a disgrace. Fuck off out of football.
I'm sure they're going to appreciate our views.
I'm bored shitless of his face.
If you're interested, come on the show.
When he came back to England, I thought, oh, for fuck's sake. I just don't want to see his face anymore.
Jose, if you're out there, you know, come on to Brighton Rock. We'll take you on.
Yeah, let's have a chat about the Europa League and all that.
You're being a knob.
Yeah. Okay, that's that one done. Right, other stuff to talk about. I've got a list of things here, and I'm going to go through them as quickly as I can. So, this season, I want to sum up this, by the way, before we forget. This season, we've beaten Liverpool twice, if you count the cup. We've beaten Man United twice, done the double. Chelsea twice, done the double. We've beaten Arsenal twice, again, league and cup, both away. Fantastic. Newcastle, people talk about strength and depth. Let's remember, we have the second lowest budget.
You mentioned Leeds there, the champions of Europe.
Oh shit, sorry. How did I miss that out? They are indeed the champions of Europe. Newcastle, right. People talk about the strength and depth. Let's remember, we have the second lowest budget.
Big news. Frankfurt have lost the German Cup between Leverkusen and Europe next year in Europa League.
Leverkusen. Shit beer. I want to go to Freiburg.
But also, they've got connection with Brighton fans, so
it's going to be quite bad. They do, yeah. So listen, we'll embrace it if it happens. Anyway, my point was going to be second lowest budget in terms of wages in the entire division, and we have been missing at various points of season Lamptey all season, Modder all season, Lallana, most of it. Lallana, huge sections of this season, including the whole of the extended run-in. Webster, quite a few games. Veltman, the run-in, apart from the very end of the run-in. Sarmiento, most of the second half of the season. Welbeck, for certain moments. Solly, for the last five games. Crucial time when we were stretched. Ferguson, for a few vital games. He's got a miracle cure, though, hasn't he? Ferguson. Also, Nwepu, who had to give up the game, forced to retire due to a heart defect discovered in September. And a number of these and other players have been out for a couple of games at a time in the same positions, which has left us weak. Despite all of that, we finished sixth. People are talking about Eddie Howe as manager of the season. He's done fucking well. Guardiola, you have to add it to him year on year. Arteta, major improvement. I don't think De Zerbi has any... No one beats De Zerbi, do they?
It's only popular vote that they've always up winning. Zerbi is so far above everyone else. Anyhow, the whole country fucking backing him.
Oh, he has done very well. I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
He's done very, and Frank's done well, and Silva's done well, and O'Neill's done well, and Cooper's done well.
But if you look at this manager season, Frank's actually not done that much better than last season.
De Zerbi has come in and taken another team over. Rocky period. One more thing, Europa League, just to cement the date. So, 1st of September, the draw, Peter. We're going to do a special, aren't we? Unravelling all the details.
A live draw.
A live draw, which will become unlive when we publish. We'll do that. Here's the main dates. 21st of September. Match day one. 5th of October, match day two. What's that say? 26th of October, match day three. 9th of November, match day four. 30th of November, match day five. 14th of December, match day six. These are the games we are definitely playing in whatever group we're involved in. Home and away, three at home, three away, this half of the season, 2023. This year we're still in now, we're going to have those six games. And then if we qualify, we go into the knockout stages, February the 15th.
Well, not necessarily. We get top of our group, we don't have to worry about that.
That's
true. Walk straight through.
All right, yeah. Okay, well, 15th of February, 22nd, 7th of March, 14th of March, 11th of April, 18th of April, 2nd of May, 9th of May. Those are all the various knockout games.
We definitely need a bigger squad.
We need a bigger squad because, Peter, on the 22nd of May in Dublin, we're having a fucking party. Because we're going to the Europa League final, aren't we?
Yeah, and the Champions League is going to be next after that, you know.
The year after. Great stuff, isn't it? No, that's all the dates, folks.
We're going to be the first team to win Europa League and Champions League without winning a domestic
trophy. Imagine that. We only win European trophies, never domestic ones. That could be our niche. I'm happy with that. Would you take that?
Maybe we drop down first. We come third in our group. Win Europa Conference League first, then Europa League, and then then Champions League.
If we continue to win, let's say we never win the Champions League, even if we win it through the Europa League, but we keep winning Europa Leagues and Conference, and we never ever win a domestic competition, and we keep finishing bottom half, say. Would you take that? I would.
I mean, I'd be reasonably okay with that, yeah.
It's major trophies every year.
We could be the first team to win a Champions League without coming top six in the country.
That would be good.
Well, without coming top five, sorry. By coming top six.
Palace are looking, I have to say, as well. Also, just to mention, Europa League, potential earnings for qualifying, €3.6 million. Yeah, please do. I've got it on the screen here as we're talking. 3.6 million.
Can I have that personally?
Oh, you want the money?
Yeah.
I think we might need it, actually.
Tony's probably got enough money anyway.
No, we've got a squad to build, Peter. We've got a squad to build. Right, here we go. Qualifying, €3.6 million. We've got that already. Group stages. Each win is...
€630,000.
And each draw is...
€210,000.
Then, if we win the group...
€1.1 million.
Runners up...
€500,000.
And then...
You can read.
I can't. I haven't got my glasses on.
€1.2 million for qualifying for the round of 16. €1.8 for quarterfinals. €2.8 for semi-finals. Runners up get €4.6 million. And the winners get €8.6 million.
I'll take all of that. Thank you very much.
Apparently, there's potential hard ones to get to.
Oh, yes. Potential hard ones to get to.
FC Struga of North Macedonia.
North Macedonia.
Kaksivitrovleg in the Faroe Islands. I don't think they've ever actually been mentioned, in defense. I don't think they ever get anywhere near the actual group stages.
No, they won't. They won't.
As do FC Struga. But FC Astana, who have done, is it Kazakhstan? Although, apparently, you imagine they won't get very far in qualifying.
According to the notes you're now reading, I made.
Andy Bravio says apparently that Sassuolo CEO Giovanni Carnavali stated that the best offer for the stadium is Premier League offer, but we're not interested anyway now, so that's old news.
Exactly. Can I just say, Giovanni Carnavali, doesn't that sound a great name? But if you translate it to English, it's John Carnival. It doesn't sound so good, does it? It's like Sergio Torres. Fernando Torres. Is Fred Towers. It doesn't sound so good, does it? Anyway, there we go. There we go. Right.
Is that why you left that in there?
Yes. Yeah, it was. Quite frankly. Right.
Vinicius Junior, then, next one, which is a disgrace.
Yes, let's talk about that. Right, Vinicius Junior. It's a few days. It's about 10 days ago now, isn't it?
It's appalling. It's just. There was like, yeah. Vinicius Junior got like racially abused. At Valencia,
okay.
He has been like about 8 or 9 times this season in Valencia, horrendously abused like by their fans. It's like amazing this is not being like pushed out of Spanish football. It's like ridiculous. And then the Spanish La Liga president came out and basically defended it and said that made some comment basically that Spanish football isn't racist. It's like fine, and it was just like oh my god, it's a bad situation. You've made it like 20 times worse. You're saying that. Are you saying he's lying? Are you saying, what are you saying?
I mean, this is the CEO.
And also, the referee dickhead sent him off when he had a go at someone, which he probably, on the rules, he got sent off. But the guy strangled him as well, so he should have got sent off as well.
Yeah.
And then red card was then rescinded.
Notwithstanding the fact he would have been pumped up by the uncensored racist.
I mean, technically, rescinding the red card was ridiculous because actually wasn't the right decision because he did do a red card thing. But so did the Valencia guy who didn't get sent off.
Yeah, and also, slightly disconcertingly, there was a bell going as if last orders, which is a bit weird.
So we need to go to the bar.
It's about 9 o'clock. We'll pause it there, Peter. We'll pause it there. We're in another pub, we're continuing to talk shite, and I'm with Peter, the perfect man to talk shite with.
Nothing to say now.
Vinicius Junior, so Tebas, what a disgrace. The whole thing about Brazil, they should look at themselves. Basically criticising him for being racially abused. Unbelievable. And if you need to know what the problems are with Spanish football, you need to look no further than Tebas. What a disgrace and a shambles that man is.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with that. It's like, he basically has now at least backed down a little bit and like admitted he was a dickhead, but who advised him to do that? It's like, I don't understand who was like, one of those like, yeah. It's ridiculous. And even a buddy, like, one of the other Spanish league people was like, he's a disgrace. He's like, he's been like completely screwed up over. It's like,
yeah, completely agree. And let's have a look through my schedule of other stuff to talk about. Is there anything else to talk about? Probably.
This is how it feels to be Palace.
This is what it likes to be small. This is what it's like when your passport's stuck in the drawer.
And also,
stuck in the drawer. Stuck also, in the drawer. Stuck in the drawer.
Also, we're all going on a European tour. European tour.
Tour.
European tour.
Tour.
We're all going on a European tour.
A tour.
European tour.
A tour.
European tour.
A tour. We're going on such a European tour.
We are literally going to Europe. We are literally, I mean, when we were like bottom of the Football League, no business. Can you imagine that, how it would be like being a UEFA Cup if it was there? So we are all here going on to, except for Lawrence, who won't be doing that, and Duke, who won't do that. So me and Fee and Russ are going to European tour, so.
Hey, so we're going to Stonegrass, we're going to Lithuania.
We're going to Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan, we're going to Astana.
We're on our way, we're on our way.
So who gives a shit where?
Kazakhstan,
we're on our way.
How do we get, I have no fucking idea.
I've got no idea. By the way, can I just say, and this is a historic moment, don't you know? Difficult place to go bingo. We've talked about it for a few years.
It's really difficult to go to.
This is the year. This is the year we've gone two past the record. This is the most difficult place to go bingo year ever.
And next season will be that literally difficult place to go to. So we can't fucking get there.
This year it's all about fucking Farnborough and places like that. Next year it's going to be Astana and Karabakh.
Karabakh and all.
I mean, Karabakh, you say Karabakh will be bad. Maybe it's not that bad.
Well, Baku's 6 hours direct flight, so not that bad compared to Astana, which is like 13 hours indirect flight. So.
Not that you've checked all of these details.
No, I've been avoiding Europa League thoughts at all.
Also, I love it.
Can I just say, I'm going to look at my phone now, and we can like confirm live, although not so live, who's in the French League stuff. So, in the French team in the Europa League will be Rennes. Rennes.
Ooh, Ruin. Whatever you want to call them.
Monaco came sixth. Rennes, to be fair, are quite a big stadium. Monaco has 16,000, so it might be a good thing for us.
James Milner coming in.
Isn't it ironic?
How positive will that be? We need to replace. We need to replace the penalties.
I thought it happened a month ago, but it's not happened yet, so.
Andy Bravery. Here's a quote from Andy Bravery, friend of the show. He says, turns out Jack Hinterwood made a little bit of history at Villa. Apparently, he is the first fourth-generation footballer to play professionally in England. And also, Jack is the first player to have played at every age level for the Albion. And Lewis Dunk was at pains to mention this on the Albion Unlimited podcast. When I think of it, Johnny Cantor, I'm forgiven if I'm wrong here. Somebody pointed out all the players that have done well, and he said, don't forget Jack Hinterwood. He looked okay at Villa, didn't he?
He gave the ball away very early on, and then, like, kind of, yeah, but yeah, I mean.
Let's call that he did well.
I mean, he gave the ball away early on, so I'm sure he remembers, and then, like, did very well after that, so.
Just to go into detail, his great granddad, Wally, played for Chelsea, 1951, and Fulham.
What a Wally.
Grandad Paul Hinterwood, played for the team that shall not be mentioned, Oxford and Millwall.
Why can Oxford not be mentioned?
No, the team before Oxford is not mentioned. And then his dad, Adam, played for Brighton and is now, of course, Worthing manager. And Jack, who looked quite lively when he came on, is the fourth generation footballer.
Yeah, he's like a real prospect.
Did pretty well. I have no further notes, Peter. So no, that signs
some. Next season, we're going to be going a European tour.
A European tour.
Lawrence, where are you going?
We're going to Astana.
Yes, Karabakh.
Ikara and
Budapest.
Baku.
Bucharest. Who gives a shit? Arrest.
It's going to be. There's so many great places. The Brighton we've been playing next year. So,
oh, it's going to be great.
I can't wait. It's going to be like.
Lawrence, you're not an Albion fan, but you're coming, aren't you? You're coming on the European tour. You're going to enjoy the city.
My dream is to go on the European tour next year.
Yeah.
I hope I will be able to fulfil that dream. So.
Fantastic. And somebody who's looking at me in a way that, he's going to talk to me next. And I am indeed going to talk to her next. Fiona, Peter's other half, who's going to be dragged around Europe.
I think drag's a strong word.
Yeah, I think she's that majorly up for this. She's majorly up for this. Peter is going to get dragged around. Fiona, you're going to enjoy this, aren't you?
I'm very happy to follow my beloved Brighton around Europe.
You beer-fueled mercenary. So, we've been told we're going to be kicked out. Because here we are drinking on the beer mile, the Bermondsey beer mile. In London, by the sea.
The Budapest beer mile or the Baku beer mile.
Now, you and Fiona like a beer. I've got a feeling we're going to be talking about all of this shit in some far-flung European location in the future.
So the next year to get my mum on the pod. That's going to be like...
And Fiona, you'll be back on the pod, won't you, Fiona?
Next year.
Yeah, totally.
If during next season we get my mum on the pod, that will be hilarious.
That is the ultimate aim. On that note, we should sign out because I think we've had enough to drink and enough to chat shit about. So, Peter, stand or fall?
Up the Albion.
And podcast extra, one extra bit of catching up. Haven't published straight away, so a few days later, here we are on Wednesday evening, and it's time to update a little bit on what's been going on. So, it's looking like Alexis McAllister's going, if you believe Fabrizio Romano, and I certainly do not. 35 million, that's a laughable figure, and it's not a true figure, it's a total and utter fallacy. He has got that wrong, as usual, when it comes to fees, and it's the same again on this occasion, for sure. The real figure is likely to be around the £55 million mark, that's what all the good money is saying on it. It might be through some incremental increases, but I think the base figure, being 35 million alone, is laughable, let alone the overall figure. So don't panic with any of that crap you keep hearing from that mercenary leech. Anyway, in other news, West Ham got their first trophy for 43 years. And I think it's since the 60s or 70s since they won a European trophy, beating Fiorentina 2-1 in the Europa Conference League final. That's the one below we're going to be in next season. We'll see if we can replicate that kind of thing next year. Incidentally,
trouble at the game, or trouble outside the game, somewhere in the streets in Prague. Fiorentina fans starting in numbers on West Ham fans at a bar. Same old, it's such a boring cliche, isn't it? Oh well, some things never change. Anyway, on to the Albion future news. Well, there isn't any yet. Nothing's been confirmed, nothing's been announced. All of that's likely to happen pretty soon. We are going to have our season review coming up in our next episode. When and where, we will confirm later on. Stay tuned for that. And we've got one or two other specials lined up during the summer. So, until next time, stand or fall, up the Albion.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.